Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Gagish of the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to our trade show session. Let me start that over. Hello, this is Debbie Gagish of the Pedowitz Group, and welcome to our virtual trade show session on 5 best practices of lead follow-up. Now, when we decided to come to the trade show, we wanted to have topics that we could share that would be informational, informative, and also help you do a better job in your lead generation efforts. The follow-up seemed to be the perfect thing for us to select, because when you take a look at study after study after study that has been done on how leads go from marketing over to sales, and you take a look at the percentage of leads that are not followed up on, most studies report that to be a very high rate, some studies as high as 70%. So when I thought about the 5 best practices of lead follow-up, what I wanted to think about and what I wanted to present to you in this virtual trade show is the whole notion of how can you cross that chasm between marketing and sales to ensure the high-quality leads that you as the marketer are producing are indeed being followed up on and that you can track. And you can also report on your contribution to the pipeline. So here goes. Best practice number 1 for lead follow-up is this. Whoever is the highest level person in the marketing organization responsible for leads needs to think of themselves as the VP of leads. Your world is now different that you're responsible for leads. If you have a traditional marketing background, this may be a lot for you to handle, but it's one of the fastest growing areas of marketing today. So whoever is going to be the VP of leads, they need to be focused and they need to be obsessed on leads, the quality of the leads. Are they being followed up on? As a matter of fact, last year we did a study along with the Online Marketing Summit, and we went out and we interviewed 16 leaders of demand generation in addition to the online survey that we did. And anytime we talked to these people about their lead generation efforts, they actually kind of sounded like a VP of sales. They could tell you how many leads, they could tell you how those leads converted, and they could tell you their contribution to the pipeline. So someone at a strategic level in your marketing organization needs to assume that VP of leads role. Very important. Next, in order to cross that chasm between marketing creating leads and sales doing follow-up, you need to kind of do 2 things, and I really put this in the best practice number 2. Number 1, you need to take the time to map out the life of a lead through your organization. And as you're mapping out that life of a lead, you will also work with sales to define the lead nomenclature. Now, this is a process that is all done from a buyer's perspective. And then you take that buyer perspective and you think about how they're engaging with you. When we think about the life of a lead, Serious Decisions uses a concept called the waterfall. And at Pedowitz Group, we use something similar to that. And the reason I share that with you is to know that there's only so many things that you call leads, but the important part of it is that you have a common definition that sales and marketing agrees to together. So let me give you an example. Typically, we talk about marketing produces marketing-qualified leads. And that term marketing-qualified leads will mean different things to different marketing organizations. But basically, it's your stamp of approval that you've done everything that you can using all the tools that you have to get that lead as qualified as possible. If you live in the world of marketing automation, which we highly recommend, a marketing qualified lead means a lead that has been through an automated lead scoring process. And that lead scoring process tells you 2 things. Number 1, it tells you about the quality of the lead, most often gathered from the demographic data, company revenue, title, function, those kinds of things. And it also gives you information about propensity to buy. We gather that from the behavioral data, multiple visits to the website, lots of pages, taking a look at financing options. So that is how you produce a marketing qualified lead, a very good term that, very generic, with lead scoring applied to it. who goes past the fuzzy conversations and really goes straight into sales and marketing working together. Here's exactly what a marketing qualified lead looks like. So that when marketing produces that marketing qualified lead and it goes over to sales, either into the CRM system or an alert that they could get in an email or BlackBerry or both, at that point it becomes a sales qualified lead. Sales will pick up the phone. It could be sales. It could be inside sales. They'll follow up on the marketing qualified lead, and if they think that this lead needs to be worked, it's not an opportunity yet, but it's a lead that can be worked. They can put in their CRM system that is now a sales qualified lead, and then at some point they turn that into an opportunity. But when you're talking about lead follow-up, having this imprecise and fuzzy definitions of leads between sales and marketing is really the number one issue. So working with a marketing automation system, working with lead scoring, defining what a marketing qualified lead is, and then and we'll talk about how that gets passed over to sales too. Sales is incredibly important. And as you, again, work through those definitions, imagine going up to a whiteboard and just mapping out the life of a lead. We find this to be an invaluable activity for sales and marketing to go through together. And typically, it starts with all the sources that marketing has where inquiries may come from. Those inquiries produce marketing qualified leads. Those marketing qualified leads then jump over into the sales world where it can become a sales qualified lead and then at some point become an opportunity. And so as you define that process and as you work with sales to define that process, that chasm that typically has existed between sales and marketing, which causes a lot of the lack of follow-up, actually gets closed and you get a much better follow-up rate. So best practice number three really comes right after best practice number two. And what we do in best practice number three, this is really all about the service level agreement. And I love these, and let me tell you what they're all about. So marketing has made an investment in marketing automation. They're now producing marketing qualified leads, which means that there is a propensity to buy and there is a certain level of qualification that has taken place, highest quality leads that sales has ever received from marketing. But now when marketing gets that marketing qualified lead over to sales, sales has a distinct and specific responsibility in the follow-up of that lead. And this issue is incredibly important because when you're working in the world of digital relationships, you're hanging on by a gossamer thread. So having a service level agreement in with sales that says, me marketing commits to you sales, I will get you this lead within, 1 hour of the defining event of when it becomes a marketing qualified lead. It could even be minutes. And you, sales, commit to following up in an hour or whatever your time frame is with a specific set of questions using a specific process. You, sales, commit to giving me a disposition that should be captured in the CRM system so that you can track the disposition of the leads that go from marketing qualified into the sales funnel to sales qualified leads to opportunity. So these service level agreements, you know, in the past what we've done is we really haven't had great conversations with sales. They take a look at stuff from marketing and they say, I'll get to it when I can. Well, now that you're producing marketing qualified leads, this service level agreement requires that sales pay attention and that they work that lead in a particular way, that they use their CRM system in a particular way, and that the timing is incredibly important. So quite often we see lead follow-up of about less than 4 hours in a lot of companies that we work with. So again, when we think about best practices of lead follow-up, we've talked about define your VP of leads was number one. Number two was kind of like a two-parter. Map out the life of a lead from marketing all the way through sales and define your lead nomenclature. And again, using lead scoring as an impetus, you really get a very specific definition of what a marketing qualified lead is. And the third best practice is once you've got that life of a lead mapped out and you're now producing marketing qualified leads for sales, put in place a service level agreement between marketing and sales that clearly spells out who has responsibility doing what, with a lot of attention paid to time for follow-up, because this is incredibly important. The fourth best practice, and again, there are many things that we could talk about. We just really wanted to highlight these five, would be as a marketer, when you produce that marketing qualified lead and you hand it over to sales, whether it's inside sales for an additional round of qualification or whether it goes straight over to sales, you need to think about a category that I call follow-up assets. So think about the buyer. They have engaged with you. They engaged with you online. They raised their hand. They became a marketing qualified lead, which means they're probably ready to take a phone call from you. And when they raised their hand and then the salesperson got the marketing qualified lead and they call them, well, 9 times out of 10, they don't buy right there on the spot. So what you have to do and what's very important is for you to think through how you can prepare the salesperson to continue that discussion. It may be by creating a follow-up email that the salesperson can have after they've touched that marketing qualified lead. That follow-up email could include the addition of another asset. So, for example, maybe they downloaded a white paper and they did some other things that made them become a marketing qualified lead. And when the salesperson reaches out, maybe they're not quite ready, but they may be in about 3 months. So that salesperson can send them a follow-up email in a template that you marketers have provided, and along with that, send them an ROI calculator. Anything to keep that conversation going. So be thinking about ways when you create your campaign, when follow-up is occurring, what other assets can you arm the salespeople with so they can have the best shot at continuing that conversation, which in most cases will equate to a higher conversion from marketing qualified lead to sales qualified lead and sales qualified lead to opportunity. So think about a category that we call follow-up assets. And finally, best practice number 5, the most important, they're all really important, but this one you really want to pay attention to, is you have to think about metrics and reporting. Now, for many marketers, this is absolutely, positively the bane of their existence. How do you track? How do you report? How do you show the impact that marketers are making on the pipeline? Again, using a marketing automation system is typically the way that you do that. It's typically the number one reason why these marketing automation systems get bought. And they can absolutely give you closed-loop reporting, so you can show the measurable contribution from marketing into the sales pipeline and ultimately into closed business for the company. However, a lot of times for marketers, they have to rethink what they're tracking and what they're reporting on. So, for example, if you haven't been doing very much in the way of lead generation, you may be responsible for a number of inquiries. So I did a campaign. We got 32,000 inquiries. That'd be a great campaign. But at the end of the day, inquiries don't cut it. You really want to think about with lead generation and also with follow-up metrics that count, metrics that make an impact on the business. So for today's marketer, that equates to how many marketing qualified leads am I producing? What is the conversion ratio of marketing qualified lead to sales qualified lead? What is the conversion ratio of sales qualified lead to opportunity? And not only do you need to have metrics on that and do you need to report on that, but you need to be able to be anywhere on face of the earth and somebody ask, how are you doing? And you can spit those numbers out just like a VP of sales. Clearly, there are many, many areas of metrics and reporting that are very important for follow-up. But if you can't reach into the CRM system and if you can't show attribution, you're not going to be able to report on anything. Again, that's a great benefit from deploying a marketing automation system. You actually can get that closed-loop reporting. So the thing I'll end with in this short trade show session is this. Somebody has to do the follow-up. You spent the time, you spent the money, you spent the effort getting these leads generated, getting that interest from the prospects who are visiting to your website. Whatever process you put in place, the number one thing is consistency and timing. Even people who aren't that great on the phone are going to be better than no phone call whatsoever. So again, as you think about your lead generation efforts, don't stop at just where marketing hands that lead over to sales. Help sales do a better job of the follow-up with the leads that you are producing for them. Again, many other things that we could talk about, but I think if you really pay attention to these five best practices for follow-up from your lead generation efforts, you'll be very successful. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the great show.